Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, good morning. Ruben Nava, one-man car. My partner, Jesse Romero, still out. Continued prayers for him. He's recovering. I spoke to him yesterday, so God willing, he will be back tomorrow for tomorrow's show. So, yeah, those prayers are working. Keep it up. And, he sends his love, his regards to all of you. So, yeah, today, a lot of in the news has been filled with what's going on in Afghanistan. And obviously, I have a military family, have many people in the military or have been in the military and currently serve. So it's disheartening. It's one of my nephews served two tours in Afghanistan. So, my heart goes out to him, having to see what has gone on and with our leaders. And it's just, like I said, it's a debacle, and has made us the laughingstock of the world. And so I can't help but think that it's like a distraction, for what is to come over here. So all eyes were on Afghanistan, and then, I read a number where they brought about 144,000 people from Afghanistan over here. So unvetted, obviously, and just saw that one rapist that was kicked out from the country by President Trump was brought. He came back in during this wave. So again, wait to see what's going to happen with a lot of these people. We don't know if if they're friend or foe, and also we're still fighting this pandemic, if you will. So today I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to be sharing an article that our friend of the show, Father Dave Nix, he wrote a couple of days ago, and it's called "Ramping Up for a Global Scapegoating." We've already talked about the moral issues of this, and remember, just because some of your leaders in the church, bishops, priests, and the Pope have taken the jab, you have to make that decision with a formed conscience. Okay, so that's something you have to determine. No one could force you to do it. Okay, and I'm not going to begrudge you for it, because that's your decision, and we all have to answer for our actions. So I know from a moral standpoint, and Jesse and I have talked about it, we will not subject ourselves to that, because it's been aligned with aborted babies. And so to us, the end doesn't justify the means. Now, I'm just, I'm not going to judge anybody. However, what I'm going to be sharing today is how dangerous the vaccine is. Is going forward. And I'm no expert on this stuff. I'm just sharing what other doctors and experts have talked about. And so let's get into this. It's Father Dave, he talks about a Bloomberg article titled "Previous COVID Prevents Delta Infection Better Than Pfizer Shot." Reads, people give both doses of the Pfizer biotech vaccine were almost sixfold more likely to contract a Delta infection and sevenfold more likely to have symptomatic disease than those who recovered. Mercury News also reports that a team at UCSF found that 78% of infections in fully vaccinated people among the study were caused by variants with these mutations, compared to 48% of the cases among unvaccinated people. But I'll have you watch the news or you hear statistics from mainstream media, they'll have you believe that it's the unvaccinated that's causing all this spike. the stats are proving them wrong, who remained an easier target for earlier generations of the virus. Overall, the proportion of cases linked to these variants more than doubled between February and June of 2021. And so there's a tenured surgeon. She explains why the vaccine is killing our U.S. military numbers more than COVID. And they demanded, the White House demanded that all our military get vaccinated, and or they need to leave, or they will be kicked out. So, Mr. Engineer, is there a way you can cue up that clip? We're ready for it. This is a surgeon, Navy surgeon, former. Oh. Okay, we just got to get the sound going. So, just be a second. So, she is going to explain a little bit about this vaccine. And she is someone who gets it. Okay, these are the type of doctors that have been getting censored over social media, you know. Okay, here we go.
And, you know, one of my big problems is our vaccination of the military. I'm a tenured Navy surgeon, and so I have Navy people and Army people calling me. There were only 20 deaths of all the active duty in 2020 for COVID, 20, and all the services put together. They have a big, now that they didn't have when I was in, they have a big epidemiologic base, and they can find out exactly what's going on. There were only 20 deaths. We're vaccinating everybody. And we've already had tumors, and we've had 80 cases of myocarditis, which I'm going to get to. But myocarditis has a significant mortality, five-year mortality rate. I think it's 66%. So we, with the vaccine program, have ostensibly killed more of our young active duty people than COVID did. Leukemia, another blood dyscrasia, cancer. There's 48 per year on average in VAERS. We now are up to 229. Myocarditis that I just mentioned. In 31 years of the VAERS, there were 317 cases. Now, this year, 1,113. So you can see the ongoing numbers. And I can pick almost any diagnosis, and you will find the same issues. So the question you have to ask is, why are we not stopping this? We stopped many things for far less. We stopped working on respiratory syncytial virus vaccine because of 22 deaths of infants in the hospital. We stopped the H1N1 after 53 deaths or 53 serious adverse events. So we are now doing 53 probably a day. Why are we continuing to move on here? Well, in my opinion, I think you have to look at your worldview. And this is my new thing. When I talk to people, I say, if you think we're fighting a virus, you're going to act like a victim. If you think we're fighting a war, you're going to act like a warrior. And my argument is, we're in a war. Now, we have to determine, it's a fifth generation, uncharacteristic, unrestricted war, but we have to determine who the enemy is.
Wow. Do you hear that? Well, this virus came from one of our enemies.
And, you know, one of
Communist China. So, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, and this is my take, that, you know, we're talking about, you know, chemical warfare. And so she's telling you that if you, I like that, you know, if you want to talk about it, like if it's a virus, you're going to act like a victim. If you're going to talk about it like a war, you're going to act like a warrior. And we need to act like warriors, ladies and gentlemen. We got to strap up our boots and get in the fight. And what they're doing to us is taking our freedoms. And I'm not going to stand for it, you know, for my family and my community and my church. So that's why we're in this together. And don't feel alone. I know that we've all had somebody, every family has been touched by this virus, by this COVID. And I'm myself included. So it's no... It's no joke. You know, Jesse was telling me that, he had him on his back for 3 days. And so he'll come back and he'll explain his take on it. And he'll have firsthand experience with it. But he's also going to have the antibodies. So, yay, he's, you know, part of me wants to say, hey, let me get it so I can get those antibodies. But anyway, I'm not going to wish that upon myself. So anyway, this going back to the article, Dave, Father Dave says, this lines up with what I'm finding among my friends with boots on the ground. Late last week, that was August 2021, you know, he said he texted a fire medic buddy of his. If you don't know Father Dave, he was a former paramedic before he was a priest. And his question was, what percentage of those on a ventilator due to COVID would you suspect were fully vaxxed right now? And this friend of his texted back 90%. So he and I both fully realize that this is a complete and total opposite narrative of what the mainstream media and even the hospitals are reporting. He then texted me, the ERs aren't testing people for COVID if they have had the jab. They're only testing the unvaxxed. Did you get that? Let me read that again. The ERs aren't testing people for COVID if they have had the jab. They're only testing the unvaxxed. Therefore, you have the numbers skewed, because if you're not testing the vaxxed, then you're never going to say, hey, they're bringing something to the table. Unbelievable. It's so, he goes on to say, it also turns out that the fully vaccinated doesn't last long as the official definition on the website of St. Louis. And so when you go to St. Louis, they're talking, they put an ad out in there for their community. And you have to laugh at this. This is ridiculous. So we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Okay. Don't change that dial. You're going to want to hear this. We'll be right back. Jesus 911.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back. Jesus 911. Ruben Nava here. Working a one-man car called a King Car. So my partner, he will be back, God willing, tomorrow. And I'm talking about an article from Father Dave Nix. It's called Ramping Up for the Global Scapegoating. And he's pointing out just the absurdity of in St. Louis, in one of their websites, they put out the acronyms and they give a description of what these things mean, like DCHSS, Department of Health and Senior Services of the State of Missouri. And it goes on down what they talk about, face covering, and their definition of fully vaccinated. So listen to this. It says, fully vaccinated person means a person who 14 days prior received a second dose of a two-dose series, or 14 days prior received one dose of a single-dose vaccine. A person is not fully vaccinated until this time period of 14 days from the last date of the required dose has lapsed. Are you ready for this? Additionally, after 3 months from the last dose, a person is no longer considered to be a fully vaccinated person. Do you get that? So they're going to be expecting you to do it over and over and over again. And it's a never ending. Oh, we got to give a booster shot because, to cover the next variant. This is criminal, ladies and gentlemen. I just, you have to realize who we're listening to, who we're getting our information from. And so getting back to this, this article here. So he says that, what is the motivation for all this? He says, I have another friend whose family runs a pizza parlor in New York, and he texted me the following out of the blue. Now, keep in mind, as you read his text, he and the fire medic above that I mentioned gave him permission to publish this, that his family comes from Italy, this guy from New York. He says, hi, Father, just wanted to share this. My mom talked to her brother in Italy today. He gave her the whole talk about getting jabbed. My parents think, like both of us, conservative, obviously, most of the people in my town and Italy are jabbed. Then he told her family member and a friend who are jabbed both got sick. According to him, you can still get sick, but you won't die. And it's the unjabbed's fault. So the brainwashing is the same there, if not more. And this friend of father says, I'm not an expert on the end times things, and I don't know if it will happen in our lives, but this worldwide obedience and mandatory shot seem like they're paving the way for the Antichrist. You could be onto something. You do not have to be a prophet, as I was called in social media this past week. Father Dave was called a prophet, or a false prophet, as he was called in social media the past week, to see all the evidence listed above in this blog post piles up to one obvious conclusion. The vaccinated are sicker than the unvaccinated, and they're blaming it on them. They're blaming it on the unvaxxed. Finally, remember that this is a real project in Australia. Notice that the woman tweeting the story above. Okay, so in Australia, what's going on? You talk about lockdowns. It's draconian. Worse than what we have here. Way worse. A dedicated regional, this is a breaking news from Australia, a dedicated regional quarantine facility will be built at Wellcamp Airport near Toowoomba as we contend with the dangerous Delta variant. We need fit-for-purpose quarantine facilities. They're quarantining people. They're taking them against their will to these facilities. They say a new regional quarantine facility to proceed at Wellcamp Airport, Toowoomba. Against their will, they're taking them there. So they said we need a place to fit for this Delta variant, and that could be happening over here as well. Quarantining people, and taking them against their will. It reminds me of in World War II when the Japanese were put in internment camps and treated like less than human. And obviously, what happened in Nazi Germany, and this is what it's coming to. So you have to, if you're not standing up now, then when? And if it's not you, then who? You're gonna leave it up to somebody else to do it for you. No, we have to join together, and we got to get dirty and get on our knees, and starts with prayer, right? And asking the good Lord and Our Lady to intercede for us, and I really, really think we need to be really praying for the consecration of Russia so that we have that peace in the world that only she's going to bring, according to her prophecy at Fatima. So the lady that was tweeting that story as breaking is masked. She's wearing a mask in her Twitter. You could see she's wearing a mask. She's not ashamed of the news story. Australia is quite proud of this. But don't think for a minute that that is Australia. This is the United States. Even a cursory look on American soil, media will quickly reveal many masked jabbers clambering the unjab to lose all rights. They constantly write on social media, let them die, let them die. And Father points out Kristallnacht. Does anyone remember Kristallnacht? If you don't remember, I better just let you know what it was. Remember, that was in Germany. It means Crystal Night, as also called the Night of Broken Glass or November Pogroms, the night of November 9th and 10th, 1938, when German Nazis attacked Jewish persons and property. The name Kristallnacht refers ironically to the litter of broken glass left in the streets after these pogroms. The violence continued during the day of November 10th, and in some places, acts of violence continued for several more days. The pretext for the pogroms was a shooting in Paris on November 7th of the German diplomat Ernst von Rath by a Polish Jewish student, Herschel Grinspan. News of Rath's death on November 9th reached Adolf Hitler in Munich, Germany, where he was celebrating the anniversary of the abortive 1923 beer hall putsch. There, Minister of Propaganda Joseph Goebbels, after conferring with Hitler, harangued a gathering of old stormtroopers urging violent reprisals staged to appear as spontaneous demonstrations. Telephone orders from Munich triggered pogroms throughout Germany, which then included Austria. So just before midnight on November 9th, Gestapo chief Heinrich Mueller sent a telegram to all police units informing them that in shortest order, actions against Jews and especially their synagogues will take place in all of Germany. These are not to be interfered with. Rather, the police were to arrest the victims. Fire companies stood by synagogues in flames with explicit instructions to let the buildings burn. They were to intervene only if a fire threatened adjacent Aryan properties. So, put that together with what's going on here. We are the enemy now. We're the unvaxxed are the enemy. And so, you know, they're these people that are vaxxed, that are so the woke, you know, culture, they're asking for us to lose all our rights. And in on social media, they're saying, hey, let them die. Just as in Germany, they were saying, let these Jews die, you know, as if they deserved it. So what are we going to do about it? First, you know, we got to protect our families. And remember, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart, because for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Psalm 43:22. That's from the Douay Rheims version. But also, for the eyes of the Lord behold all the earth, and give strength to those who with a perfect heart trust in him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. You know, and I like in verse 1 Peter 3:15-16. It says, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. And that is what's happening, folks. Remember, we're a contradiction. We're going to be a contradiction. Jesus said that his followers, to his apostles, you know, you're going to be a contradiction to the world. And so that's going on as we speak, and it's happening. This is a global thing. You know, this is the globalists. They want to do, they want population control. They really do. And we're going to see what happens in the future here, because we are they're in for a fight, folks, and I think you're getting the picture. And so the thing is, if you go to the CDC website, you know, there's another article I posted on the show website. It's a interim operation considerations for implementing the shielding approach to prevent COVID-19 infections in humanitarian settings. That's just a nice way of saying internment camps. A shielding approach to prevent COVID-19. What I just told you about Australia, the CDC is they have a whole article, it's on their website, a whole plan laid out. And I can't go through it all, but let's just touch on certain parts of it. The document presents considerations from the perspective of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, for implementing the shielding approach in humanitarian settings as outlined in guidance documents focused on camps, displaced populations, and low resource settings. So the approach has never been documented and has raised questions and concerns among humanitarian partners who support response activities in these settings. The purpose of this document is to highlight potential implementation challenges of the shielding approach from the CDC's perspective and guide thinking around implementation in the absence of empirical data. Considerations are based on current evidence known about the transmission and severity of coronavirus disease, COVID-19, and may need to be revised as more information becomes available. Please check your CDC website periodically for updates. So what's the shielding approach? It aims to reduce the number of severe COVID-19 cases by limiting contact between individuals at higher risk of developing the severe disease, the high-risk people, and the general population, low risk. So high-risk individuals would be temporarily relocated to safe or green zones established at the household, neighborhood, camp, sector, or community level, depending on the context and setting. They would have minimal contact with family members and other low-risk residents. Current evidence indicates that older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. And in most humanitarian settings, older population groups make up a small percentage of the total population. For this reason, the shielding approach suggests physically separating high-risk individuals from general population to prioritize the use of the limited available resources and avoid implementing long-term containment measures among the general pop. Basically saying, the you know, to heck with the older people. We're just going to, hey, they lived their life. Let's put them out. We're going to be right back. Continue talking about the jab. Don't change that dial.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. We say that over and over again because it's the truth. Keep yourself in a state of grace. Keep yourself in friendship with God so that should something should befall you, whether it be COVID-19 or it could be a simple traffic accident. It could be things happen. It could be a lightning strike from above. Whatever it is, let's all be ready, and so that when we come before the judgment seat, we can, with a clear conscience, present ourselves to our Lord. And we want good things to happen, right, on our exit interview. And we're talking about this this segment here. The interim operational consideration. This is straight from the CDC website, and they're talking about as a shielding approach, and that's just that's a nice way of saying in like an internment camp, like what they're doing in Australia, and taking people against their will. So they lay out all these different levels, the household level, and then to the right of that, they show the movement or interactions. What's going to be allowed. So the household level is a specific room area designated for high-risk individuals who are physically isolated from household members. Then they have the neighborhood level, a designated shelter group of shelters, maximum 5 to 10 households within a small camp or area where high-risk members are grouped together. Neighbors swap households to accommodate high-risk individuals. And the next one is the camp sector level. The camp, okay, so a group of shelters such as schools, community buildings within a camp sector, maximum 50 high-risk individuals per single green zone where high-risk individuals are physically isolated together. So the, so one entry point is used. So the instructions they give for those, that camp sector level is one entry point is used for exchange of food supplies, etc. A meeting area is used for residents and visitors to interact while practicing physical distancing. No movement into or outside the green zone. So they go into operational considerations. Each green zone has a dedicated latrine bathing facility for high-risk individuals. Does it sound a little bit like the lepers back in old Israel? They keep them, quarantined. To minimize external contact, each green zone should include able-bodied, high-risk individuals capable of caring for residents who have disabilities or are less mobile. Otherwise, designate low-risk individuals for these tasks, preferably who have recovered from confirmed COVID-19 and are assumed to be immune. Okay, the green zone and living areas for high-risk residents should be aligned with minimal humanitarian standards. It keeps going down. Monitor and evaluate the implementation of shielding approach. Men and women and individuals with tuberculosis, TB, severe immune deficiencies, dementia should be isolated separately. How are you going to separate somebody with dementia? They can't care for themselves. Community acceptance and involvement in the design and implementation. High-risk minors should be accompanied into isolation by a single caregiver who will also be considered a green zone resident in terms of movements and contacts with those outside the green zone. Green zone shelters should always be kept clean. Residents should be provided with the necessary cleaning products and materials to clean their living spaces. And then green zones should be more spacious in terms of shelter area per capita than the surrounding camp sector area, even at the cost of greater crowding of low-risk people. goes on to additional considerations, the top population characteristics and demographics. It should, so they said the green zones required may be greater than anticipated, as they're based on the total number of high-risk individuals, disease categories, and socio-demographics of the area, and not just the proportion of elderly population. Are you starting to get this, people? Are you starting to see that this is coming? This was put out last year in 2020, and the explanation: older adults represent a small percentage of the population in many camps in humanitarian settings, approximately 3 to 5%. However, in some humanitarian settings, more than one quarter of the population may fall under high-risk categories based on underlying medical conditions, which may increase a person's risk for severe C19. Illness may include chronic kidney disease, obesity, serious heart conditions, sickle cell disease, and type 2 diabetes. And that's been my experience, folks, is that the people that I know that have passed away have had these. They were severely overweight. They had diabetes, the people I know. One had a severe heart disease, a heart condition. So those things, and that contributes to their body not being able to fight it off. And so they give timeline considerations for consideration. Plan for an extended duration of implementation time, at least 6 months. And I want to bring something up here that was sent to me, because they're talking about doing all this for a portion of the population that, well, I might have to bring it up on the next segment. I got to find it, but you know what the actual risks are, you know, and the. When you go down from age, from different ages, and what the percentage of people who are overcoming this, you know, over 99%, and it's I got to bring it up because you got to see what it's about. But this is happening. They've got all this laid out. You can go look at it for yourself. I put the article on our website on the Face Show page. But also, you can go to the CDC website and see it yourself. Okay, so it's the title of it is Interim Operational Considerations for Implementing the Shielding Approach to Prevent COVID-19 Infections in Humanitarian Settings. Okay, so I also put on the face on the show page that there's another video that you need to watch. Okay, this is probably the best explanation I've heard of why we can't take this vaccine, because this is an expert, Gert Vandenbosch. He comes with he's one of the world-renowned vaccine. He's not an anti-vaxxer. He's a vaccine expert. He produces vaccines, and he believes in them, but not this one. So you need to hear this. This is the type of stuff that gets squashed on mainstream media, and we're going to play like a three-minute clip of it from the beginning. But then you need to watch the rest of it, because he's laying out how the specific antibodies are given to you to fight this off, and then when a variant, they're specific. So when your body is trying to fight it off with its own natural immune system, and a variant comes in, your natural immune system gets kicked out of the way. So. But let's hear what he has to say. This is Gert Vandenbosch, PhD, DVM, he's an expert, world-renowned. So let's go ahead and play that clip so you can hear what he has to say. No, got the volume.
Here, that went on his LinkedIn and put out a letter to every single professional in the world, essentially telling them we must stop the vaccination program immediately. This man could not be more pro-vaccine. In fact, he may be one of the most highly ranked and talented vaccine creators in the world. Let's take a look at the resume of the man that is screaming at the top of the mountain right now. This is Gert Vandenbosch, PhD. He was at GSK Biologicals, at Novartis Vaccines and Diagnostics. He was the director, research program leader, and head of adjuvants. Solvay Biologicals, global project director of the influenza vaccines. For the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, he was the senior program officer, global health vaccine discovery. For Global Alliance for Vaccine Immunization, Gavi, he was the program manager. And at UNIVAC, he was the chief innovation and scientific officer. He's also at the German Center for Infectious Research, head of the Vaccine Development Office. And at Verico, he was the managing director. This guy is anything but an anti-vaxxer. He is as pro-vaccine as you can get. Yet there is something that has got him terrified. He did an interview. I think this interview is so perfect that I'm going to do something we rarely do here on the High Wire. We're going to go through the interview as it appeared. But let us walk through what I believe may prove to be the most important interview in the history of mankind. Let's get started.
Fact is that these long-lived antibodies, which have high specificity, of course, for the virus, they outcompete our natural antibodies because their natural antibodies, they have a very broad spectrum, but they have low affinity, right? The specific antibodies will still continue to outcompete your natural antibodies. And that is a huge problem because I was saying just a few minutes ago, these natural antibodies, they provide you with broad protection. This protection is, yes, it is variant non-specific. It doesn't matter what variant you get. It doesn't even matter what type of coronavirus is coming in. They will protect you. Unless, of course, you suppress this level of innate immunity or it is, for example, outcompeted by long-lived specific antibodies. And so it's not like, okay, you missed it. Okay, let's try again. No, you did some harm. I mean, this is different from drugs. Immunizing somebody is installing a new software on your computer. Don't forget, I mean, these antibodies, they will be recalled every single time you're encountering a coronavirus. You cannot just erase this. So this is very serious.
This is not like a drug. This is very serious. This is, he uses the term long-lived antibodies. I'm going to use sort of a football way to describe.
Now, go ahead and cut it. Yeah, then the show host, he goes on to explain with the football analogy, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break, and we're going to give you some other stuff to chew on here. Are you kind of getting the picture? We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. Proverbs 17:15 says, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike and an abomination to the Lord." So, Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. And so if you're just joining us, we've been talking about the vaccine, and you just heard from a world-renowned expert on vaccines and immunology, and he says that he gives the reasons why we can't take it, and the podcast host, who he goes and explains it with a good football analogy. So you get these specific antibodies from the vaccine. COVID comes in, boom, they snuff them, they wipe them out, they tackle them for a loss, and out of the picture. Okay, but now as these variants come in, that vaccine you took, it's specific for the first COVID, right? So when a Delta variant comes in, or whatever other variant comes in, it gets through the front of the line, and your natural immune system starts coming in to make the tackle, and those specific antibodies that you receive from the vaccine basically knock your immune system out of the way because they're bigger and stronger, and they block them, and you know the variant goes right through and all the way to the end zone for a touchdown. So it starts working against your body to, for your body's natural immune system to take over. And then they're gonna try to have us take booster vaccines, you know. And every time you do that, you're gonna be it's gonna be worse and worse for you. So what these experts are saying is that in the long run, people are going to be dropping, and it's a sad state of affairs, because we're talking about, we all know people who have gotten the vaccine, and I'm just, you know, I'm no expert at this. I'm just reporting what I hear. And so you need to be informed and take a look at it. Listen to the whole, go to the show page and listen to that. I think it's the best explanation of what the vaccines do or don't do for you and how deadly they could be. Okay, so, and we're talking about, this is the survival rate, folks. This is what we're up against, okay? The age of infection survival rate. From 0 to 19, you have a survival rate of 99.9973%. From 20 to 29, you have a survival rate of 99.986%. From 30 to 39, 99.969%. From 40 to 49, 99.918%. 50 to 59, that's where I'm at, 99.73% of surviving. And I I'm a healthy individual. I take tons of vitamins. And so why would I take a vaccine when my survival rate is 99.73% and I'm not a high risk, I'm not in high risk category? I don't have underlying conditions. So it makes no sense to follow along like sheep to go get this when this is survival rate. From 60 to 69, 99.41%. From 70 plus, you're looking at 97.6%. And then 70 plus, that's when you don't have these underlying conditions. And 94.5% if you do have. So you could see that the numbers for them up until 69, you have a 99% chance at higher of beating this thing. So this is, you know, what happened to the regular flu shot last year, right? You know, it's not the flu shot, but the flu. You know, they said thousands of people die annually from the flu, and last year it went down. There was like 1,800 deaths, and normally it's thousands of deaths. So they were all attributed to COVID. So anyway, the statistical data doesn't seem to match the psychological operation message being played over and over again through the MSM day in and day out. There's no way they would lie, right? No way. You know, remember, they start off as, hey, just 2 weeks to flatten the curb. 2 weeks to flatten the curb, and this is where we're at now. Amazing that they want us put in quarantine zones and, you know, taking these experimental jabs. And I don't think for a minute that the Pfizer, it was now that supposedly is approved, is that it's safe. You know, because the same people from Big Pharma, you know, the same people who are involved behind the scenes of this virus, you know, the Faucis and the Bill Gates of the world, are also behind the vaccines. So it's like, you know, it's unbelievable, unfathomable what they're doing to us. Because they've constantly given us false information about what works, what doesn't work. You know, one mask, two masks, no mask if you're vaccinated. Now, if you're vaccinated, doesn't matter if you're vaccinated. You need to have the mask, and you got to do it indoors. And now they want to do it outdoors at sporting events. So it's crazy. So I'm gonna just finish with talking about what's going on in Japan. You're going to want to hear this. Okay, in Japan, there's an article that comes out by Dr. Azaka, chairman of the Tokyo Metropolitan Medical Association, green light for ivermectin in Japan. They're giving the green light for ivermectin. So this is after the Tokyo Summer Olympic Games. They ended on August 8th. The urgent status of the pandemic is Japan is now in its worst surge of the COVID-19 pandemic since the onset of the crisis. In such a megacity of 14 million, most recently a record number of new cases were reported at 20,140 on August 14th. Deaths aren't as high as successive waves of the pandemic from February 2021 to the end of May. Dr. Ozaka, the chairman of the Tokyo Metropolitan Medical Association, recently led an emergency press conference on August 13th. Dr. Haruno Ozaka shared those 18,000 new infections are reported daily. However, the death count has eased as compared to previous surges. So how to deal with the current dilemma is a huge challenge to the Japanese government and medical agencies. Fortunately, India has an excellent testimonial. Since April 28th, Indian medical officials started providing hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin to its massive population. And miraculously, COVID cases have plummeted quickly since then, thanks to the new rules. Much like what was successful accomplished in India, parts of Bangladesh, and places like Argentina and Mexico. Chairman Ozaka calls for the immediate use of ivermectin as the cases surge in Japan. He's declared that ivermectin has demonstrated significant benefits in reducing infections and deaths where the regimen is prophylactically administered for another indication. So he's given the green light to doctors to prescribe ivermectin in association with giving the patient informed consent. So Japan didn't have the big pharma entering the COVID vaccine market. So that kind of tells you something. The government did not get much pressure. So the Japanese government's anti-epidemic policy basically reflects a normal democratic regime should do, that is to protect the health of the people. Expect the miracle ivermectin in India to happen again. Protocols with hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin plus nutritional supplements fill the need for early home treatment. You should be doing those early home treatments. So that's zinc and vitamin D and C. And echinacea and things of that nature. So there's hydroxychloroquine has also been effective. So unfortunately, you cannot. I think CVS has just said that they will no longer be filling prescriptions from doctors who call in to give ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine to their patients for COVID. So a pharmacy has been put the kibosh to people being able to get this at CVS. So this is, you've seen the big picture here. This is all a conspiracy to keep us unsafe so we can push us to the vaccine. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. My friend, my wife's friend, she went to her doctor. Her son's sick with COVID. He's probably in his late 20s, early 30s. He's sick with COVID. She asked for ivermectin. The doctor looks down and just says, "I'm sorry, I can't help you. I can't dispense that." So his hands are tied, and she says, "Doc, I have horses, so we have ivermectin at home. Just tell me what the dose would be for my son, and I'll give it to him myself." So he was kind enough to go on the computer, looked at the weight, what she had, and he told her the dosage that would be okay for him. She went home, cut it up, gave what I have no idea what ivermectin, if it comes in, I think it's a tablet. So she gave whatever it was that the doctor told him he needed. 2 days later, he was up and fine, walking around. He was healed. And this is what we're up against, folks. There are cures for this thing that are not, they're not allowing us to use. So keep studying, keep looking into this. And maybe there's the frontline doctors, they're called. You may be able to order some. I know friends of the show that I know have ordered some so they can have stock on hand if anyone in their family gets sick. So you might want to think about doing that yourself. This is a war, remember. So it's a spiritual war. And so we got to combat this with prayer and fasting. We got to do this. And we all have to be in the fight. You know, no one needs to be taking a back seat and sit on the sidelines. We need to get the word out. We need to share these videos with our family members. We need to just to love on them, you know, and those who don't think like we do, we have to be able to be passionate about our beliefs, but also compassionate with their beliefs, and to love them into listening to the truth, because as you know, the truth will set you free. I'm speaking to the choir. I'm sure you guys are great. We thank you. If you like the show, please share it, and please get the message out that we're in a war, and we need to be warriors, as the good doctor said in her video. You've been listening to Jesus 911. Up next, Gary Mishuda from Hands On Apologetics from the Midwest Command Center. I am 10-7. It's time for a coffee break. I'm out. Keep the peace. Peace be with you guys. God love you.